Anyway, let me thank Dylan for putting this out. It has been a few years, that is to say, some of these things have been around for a while. Not all, but most. And we somehow we had a good connection, and he was willing to publish it. There are two series of poems in here. And the first that I'll read from now is Short Circuit. And this can be taken for all the meanings that you can imagine. What am I doing? Should I put my glasses down and keep the book, or put the book down and keep the book? No.
Oh my God.
I've also had a series of vertigo spells, which have been cured now, with a jerk of my ear, or whatever. So if I collapse, you know, it's because it's too bad.
Just a short circuit.
Don't worry, I'll get that's it. I'll get back up. All right, this is called Short Circuit because it's sort of an excursion, Paris, country, back through Disneyland to Paris. I won't read all of it, of course, but excerpts. The beginning is alive and, well, hungry to ride a bus, a different bus, I knew it must be waiting around the blind corner. As is my new habit, I refused to rush and missed it, cursing myself and all wheeled transportation. I fidgeted about, looking for a paper shop where I could buy a notebook. Needed for use on the bus, I had missed. Back around the corner from which I'd come, the shop that's never open was. Again rounding the corner, armed with paper and pen, I saw the next one, ready to pounce as the light changed. I abstained from rapping on the door, lest I be dragged into an embarrassing scene of non-admittance to this huffing, wheezing, grunting, smooth-wheeled worm. Enticed by the sun, I was drawn to a cold seat in the shelter for note-taking. When the third one came, I mounted like a regular, but they all knew I wasn't. Many seats were free, so I sat in two different ones, each as squalid as the other, though the second was bent as well, sliding me forward down off a slope that seemed to be made of crusted in the stuff, garbage pail, innards, dried. Another seat for note-taking. We moved through familiar quarters, the swing around the carousel of plastic cliché, reverting me to self-propelled merry-go-rounds in riverside parks, child feet scruffing bare ground as they picked up speed, marching pedestrians turning the place on its axis. More long channels of Paris classic, interchangeable shafts with gears at their junctions, Augustin articulate, Philippe de Roule, rond-point, Alma copulate, the tacky torch of Lady Di's flame, now dedicated to nobler causes. The bridge, the tunnel. Different rates of vehicular vibration induce sympathetic tremors in various of my body sites. Idling, right sinus. 10 kilometers per hour, sore tooth. Mid-speed turning on worn macadam, peak of skull. Past the pont, I offload myself, amble across the Rue de l'Université, toward the library. In the library, I discover a book. There's the ISBN. If you want to look it up.
Read it.
What?
What is it?
ISBN. 0-8021-4125-0.
Thank you.
This is a book about an author that I rediscovered and sort of instigated without knowing it, because he was dead. Many of the rest of the poems in this book, but not all. Perhaps we'll be able to figure out who I'm talking about. On the way out to the country, stopping at Meaux. This is called Not Before the Cathedral in Meaux, on three chairs behind of windows, cadged notepads advertising Café Richard, Torréfacteur à Paris, and Lavazza. Three chairs, I read one poem, one chair poem. I reward me with a second cigarette for my good works, consisting of the greatly difficult procedure of gathering together, as each day, my social cliches, the better to maneuver among the populace and its infrastructure, so well meant, so badly executed, yet sufficient to absorb the all-near-all of wherewithal at their disposal. And voila, I bring my little contribution, just the amount for just the return, as calculated by the invisible hand, to support, not uplift, this visible, manifestating concrete, asphalt, brick, cobblestone, glass, steel, aluminum, plastic, vinyl, amalgam, and all derivatives pursuant to sound use of post-natural sources. So I take a third reward in honor of ongoing good works. I'm looking for the house on this excursion of the where the author lived, who the book was about, that I found in the library. Without saying who did. Okay. I found the house. And that's why I say that everything afterward, many things after, are sort of under that cloud of reading this person's work again after many years. The next is called Preemption, or You Name It. I will only read part of it, not all. It's essentially a dream. At the end, after the greater part of the middle, after the beginning of my postpartum exuberance on emerging from the dream of hilarity, I was forced to take a powder to leave the urgent fantasy and return to the dearer reality of sleep. The greater middle was piles more fun, at least more curious, giving off vibes Vashman Shishi, the great one we all knew from serial toga pageants, scene all, scene one, made it benounced, a right part was zinging one of our ways, and cast a sky-eyed, sidelong-wise, unbrookable look, each of all our given directions, and with blinding clairvoyance, I saw through his lights at the point beyond me, which per metaphysical regulations meant more beyond him, the once-in-a-lifetime's just made for me roll, speed-shifting to stardom heights, up there, heap-top of the univers, unified worm-turn, i.e., wormified U-turn, there where every double one of us knows what goes. Had not I preempted, cherished, and preferential verb, preempted him forthright and withly, yes, you big time, you big cheese, you big maker, no, of it, the package dealt, who knows, who will know, I won't. And here and there we sat, each and every, peering through his all-seeing orbs, at the conjured hologrammer of my suspended sentence, my screen-tested head, the worsted beard, the red bulbous nose, the black derby. Re-waking, I barked, dog to dog, I'll preempt as I can. Moving on to a playlet. Also instigated by the reading of this author, but not to be blamed on him. The title is Same Bucket or Best Words Whore. Three or four scenettes. Scene is spelled S-E-E-N, of course, and I did this before Herald Tribune. The Herald Tribune has this new column called Scene. I made it up first. In fact, I wasn't first either. Okay, the situation will be described here. There are some quotes from the original author that I've been talking about, but they have been anagrammed. There's no dialogue. It's stage directions. Gaggle of onlookers perched pyramidically or not in a single vertical plane, each with a pair of binoculars supported by a lazy Susan. Turns around. Scene one. A field, open air, life-size, real, dim, seeming to recede. A stick-like figure facing away from viewers, seeming to move away, positioned on an invisible platform. It strides without advancing, a treadmill, clods jochometrically in place for a length of time that should illustrate the concept unbearable. The following passage is heard. Any soon, an ode bis, whose moon? Noon will hot. Who aids noon? Scene 4, bend that. As before, but different. A distinct field, absent, weeds. Twain man as child, and man as woman, and woman as woman, with child with man. Stick-like figure appears to pursue, prey upon, spy upon, endeavor to catch up with, gaze upon, contemplate the forms of a woman and child receding in place. Voice over. Installable TV slain, filled, ongoing lust. Scene 6, not more. Or scene 5.5, or less. Gaggle as always. Field. The field. It's, one might say, one would say mud-mucked, of a mud of another color. Horsican. Dun-colored. Stick figure's hindquarters, heave right, heave left. Beanstalk legs, sharply crossed trunk. Gaining, if at all, little, losing less, trying for less yet. Immense millimeters, one above ground, with the result of retreating. Voice over. See and be okay. Can't see it.
Okay. That's 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. A little bit more later, after the second half.